We have, as promised, performers in our studio live in our Buck studio today. They are Navan, N-A-V-A-N. There are four of them, and they consist of Sheila Shigley, who also works at Wisconsin Public Radio from time to time.
These halls.
What's that?
I haunt these halls.
You haunt these halls? Okay. Is that in the job description?
I believe it is, yes.
Okay.
The writer.
I'll have to check mine more closely next time. We also have, let's see, in no particular order here, Elizabeth Simcock. Yes?
Hello.
Hello there. And Paul Gorman. And you've been with, all three of you have been together for a long time.
That's true.
13 years.
And catching up is Amy Curl.
Hello.
And caught up, I think.
Caught up, yeah. Well caught up, we think.
Well
perhaps
caught up, uh-huh.
In danger of passing us up.
And when did you join, Amy?
2008.
Mm-hmm. And you all play instruments, but not as members of Navan.
That's right.
Sometimes I say we play with instruments.
You play with instruments?
We play. We play with instruments.
Uh-huh.
But just we've kept this group purposefully a cappella to highlight the song tradition, because there are just a lot of people out there, thank goodness, playing Irish instruments now and Celtic instruments, but not quite as much focus on the you know, sort of bare singing, so that's why we kept it the way it is.
And it's less to carry through airports.
A lot less.
Yeah. I love that.
Well, okay, when we say we know what a cappella means, that means we've got that established, no instruments, just the voices. But when we say Celtic, what are we talking about for geography there?
It's talked about a lot, and people still haven't agreed. When we started out, Celtic was probably still mostly thought of as represented by, like, Ireland and Scotland, even though those in the know knew that it also included Wales and Brittany. And then those even more in the know knew that it included Cornwall and the Isle of Man. But nowadays, we're even seeing parts of Spain, Asturias, and Galicia are being added into the Celtic fold. And they have full-fledged bagpipe bands. In fact, I'm sorry to say it to the Scots folks out there, but the finest bagpipe band I ever personally saw was a Galician bagpipe band from Spain. So
The Gauntlet is thrown.
Yes.
And actually, let's throw it a little harder, too, is the bagpipe really didn't even get invented in Scotland, did it?
No, and in fact, we have in our very own music library here a big album showing a Greek gentleman with a massive bagpipe. It's so large that he has to play it on his chest, and he can barely see where he's going, and it's got triple chanters, and so it's all spread throughout Europe. It's definitely not a Celtic phenomenon.
They're just, like, they don't have quite the PR to go with it on the
continent?
I think
so. I mean, it's actually harder to find a place that doesn't have a bagpipe. Which may either thrill you or strike terror to your heart, depending on your feelings towards bagpipes.
I've seen them and heard them in some very interesting places. However, it won't be this place today, because, as I say, we are instrument-free. And let us get to a song. This is probably the only generally familiar song that you're going to be singing today.
I think that's true, looking at our list.
And it's also the only one whose name I can pronounce.
Then go for it.
Well, I've heard Arhudanos.
Beautiful, beautiful.
From the Welsh baritone Thomas L. Thomas.
That's the one.
Very good.
So, but we know it, of course, through another title.
This is All Through the Night, and you've probably learned this with a slightly different rhythm than we're going to use. We tried to sort of reverse engineer it back to the old traditional Welsh rhythm, which you'll hear right away. It has a sort of double beat at the end. But we always invite people to sing along, and especially if you're out there driving or in the comfort of your own home, you're especially safe since no one can hear you. So if you're normally tentative in these situations, you needn't be now, and we encourage you to sing along in any language. We'll be singing it in Welsh, though.
Arhudanos.
Tile
the Antawani, Lawesedinwenerani, Adidenos, Omar Sirio.
It's a lullaby, in case we didn't say that before, and that is what your performance is a slower version than what you usually hear, which makes sense for a lullaby, but how do you decide tempo and even, in some cases, the melody of these old tunes?
It might have been a little hard to tease out of there, but to our ears, anyway, it feels like the melody is about the same. We realize
sure.
At this point it might have migrated back into sort of the ancient Celtic world. Hopefully it did, in fact. But the meter of the poetry lets us... The meter of the poetry matches up with an existing Welsh rhythm that you hear a lot. So you heard Er Ta Wachled at the end. Er Ta Wachled instead of la-da-da-da.
Uh-huh.
Er Ta Wachled. And that... So the poetry itself, combined with our having now heard and sung a lot of other Celtic traditional songs, made us finally go, we've been wanting to put this back into the old Welsh meter for a long time, but didn't really have the chops, you know, the intellectual chops, I guess. That came out wrong, but we didn't know how to do it.
Strike that from the record.
But then finally we had sung enough Welsh, and we thought, aha, of course, this is how it goes. And I think it probably was.
Oh,
we'd like to think so.
Yeah, that would make sense, that the actual language, the meter of the language, would determine where the notes go.
Exactly, yeah.
And so how many languages actually, if you're billing yourself as a Celtic ensemble, how many languages are you responsible for?
Minimum six.
Yeah.
Of six. And these are very different one from the other.
Some of them. On the one side, there's two sides of the family tree for the Celtic languages. On the one side, you have Irish and Scottish and Manx from the Isle of Man. And then on the other side, you have Welsh and Cornish and Breton. We also have done one in Celtiberian. Anybody else getting thrown in? You were talking about some of the other musical traditions that are getting tucked in now.
Yeah, some of those continental, you know, technically extinct ones, we're hoping, for example, the Celtiberian one, we took off an old, I think it was a copper plate inscription. and it's a list of signatories probably to a treaty of some kind, but those are all the remnants that really remain of the language. There are dictionaries and so forth, but we're singing basically a tribute to that list of signatories to this treaty, and that's one of the few things that remains of Celtiberian. But they've done, you know, linguists have looked at the pronunciation and tried to pretty much reconstruct
sure.
it, so it's as close as we can get. It would be like singing a little further removed from singing, in Latin.
Well, and look at the bright side of that coin. Who's going to correct you?
Exactly.
If
if they do, it'd be really noteworthy, and we'd probably get in
right.
the news.
If there are no Celtiberians out there for the last few hundred years, it would be unusual to be corrected. What do you have next?
We have a Scottish ritual song, I guess you could call it. It's called Hey to Bannock, which literally means Hey the Bread. but you might be familiar with bannock bread, and it's both the Native American traditions refer to bannock bread as this sort of big pan, the original pan cake, a thick kind of barely leavened bread that you bake in an iron pan over a fire. In Scotland, they do the same thing. It's called bannock, which literally means little bread. But in this case, the gift is It used to be a pre-Christian song, in which case the gift probably meant the gift of the return of the light. This is basically a solstice song. And then it came to also represent the baby Jesus. So in Scotland, as with many traditions, it's just sort of a mishmash of both traditions, and it can represent whatever you want to you, including just plain bread. But the big bands of guys...
Hooray
for bread. It was very special bread, too. It was they would add a lot of fruits and nuts, as opposed to the daily bread, which was kind of nondescript. They would throw in all kinds of special Christmas...
proto-fruitcake.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. And so you would go from house to house beating on a very large old bullhide, which was taken down only once a year for this purpose, and it was kind of like a living drum. And one boy, usually in the village, would be chosen to get a big stick and beat on this thing, and apparently it made quite a racket. And they would go from house to house singing for their bannock. And they would get a bannock either way, sometimes because they did a great job and sometimes just to get rid of them.
Or it was thrown at them,
right.
Maybe.
Uh-huh. But there's a deeper ritual to it, much older ritual, in which they would sometimes go around the house seven times, for example, to consecrate it and bless it. And this is very much a pre-Christian solstice ritual for blessing. It was considered a very iffy time of year. I mean, it was packed with blessing and also fraught with peril. You know, something really good could happen and something really bad could happen. So it was considered really wise to take precautions.
So often true, even today. So what's the name of the song again? Originally a solstice song, and it has now taken on other dimensions, seasonal dimensions of one kind or another. I think that would be a great sort of door-to-door song.
That's it. That's it exactly.
We're back live from our Buck studio with Navan, N-A-V-A-N, and it's an a cappella quartet that sings things Celtic. Does that summarize it pretty well?
Yeah,
summarize it?
Okay. One of the better summaries, I think, that we've received. Once we were unfortunately billed as Narvin, gals who sing in Gaelic. And I completely forgot about Paul, and we just read this.
I'd like to say that they hadn't met us. So.
Well, it does help to have the low register there, Paul. What do you feel is your role in this otherwise distaff quartet?
Wow. Well, the low register is probably it. And
that's
technically
it.
I'm not a bass, but in an effort to kind of recreate some of the harmonies that exist in songs as we hear them most often in the Celtic lands, we actually do fall back onto the bagpipes and the harmonies produced by the chanters. And a lot of times my part if you listen closely, and I hate to give this away, but it's very simple. And in fact, you might hear, if we get far enough today, there's a song, at least one song we sing, where I literally sing one note throughout. And it's just so that the harmonies can play off of that one drone.
I was going to say, can we call you a drone?
They often
among,
do.
Among queen bees? What does that name mean, by the way, Navin?
Navin is a, you might be familiar with Tara Mound or Tara Hill in another part of Ireland. It's a
sure,
big ceremonial
very famous,
hill,
right?
For, sort of famous destination.
Like the plantation gets its name from that.
Right. And there's a hill very much like that in the north of Ireland in County Armagh, and it's called Navin Fort. And this was a very equivalent place. This was where the northern kings would be seated and great decisions would be made. There was a great gathering. There would be great gatherings at the top of that hill. They say that it had a ring of something like 100 trees, kind of like a wood henge, as you might see in other places of the world, and it had a huge roof. And at some point in history, for reasons unknown to us, somebody burnt it to the ground, probably the people themselves, but we don't know why, destroyed it and left. But at any rate, it's still a very, very sacred place, and it's still a sort of a protected landmark today.
Navin. Well, your song titles, unfortunately, the name of the ensemble is easy to say, and it's a nice palindrome and all that. But the song titles, as we progress during the midday today, are getting more difficult.
We started you out easy.
Thank you. All right, how do you say this one?
This one is called Malabushigerhwad.
That's exactly what I would have said.
I'm sure.
And it's a Breton love song.
It is. There's a great tradition of, in all sorts of cultures, of little birds carrying messages for people. And so Malabushigerhwad is my little nightingale of the forest. And they use birds to send messages of love or to send plans to try to go away together. And what often happens in the Irish types of these stories is that the girl emigrates off with her fellow. Unfortunately, in the Breton ones, at least from the ones we've discovered, in most cases, she offers to stay inside and pray for his soul, which is not quite the same outcome that he was hoping for. In this one, she actually goes so far as to say that she would probably be better off throwing herself off the boat into the sea than staying on it and going with him to America.
Would this
poor
be construed
fellow
as a sad song?
This would just be construed as a Navin song. Yeah. You know, there seems to be a lot of our repertoire and every other group's repertoire we know in the Celtic world is just lots of laments. And I think some of them had a sort of twist of black humor. I don't think they were all meant to be dirges. But boy, if you read the lyrics too deeply, it gets a little depressing. But
there's an advantage to having it be in a foreign tongue for most
that's
of us.
That's right.
Malabushigerhwad, melenis you haskel Malabushigerhwad, melenis you haskel mazisken mep mintin vaguanig mahamonte mazisken mep mintin va guanig mahamontel ala va kastraudin gondona diferons ala va kastraudin gondona diferons mazimazem ramon kem maketon ninton Zoken joyeux agay, kalondazen yawang, zoken joyeux agay. De ganin plahig yawang,
Daganin dambati mon daganin plahi jawang Daganin dambati mon Hanibo pinbidig gonda gon Hanibo pinbidig gonda gon Mazadamamam, ne visait que content. Mazadamamam, ne visait que content. Maya fen megan auch, dauk zu patimon. Maya fen megan auch, zu patimon utad hamamam in jajomoda gere utad hamamam in jajomoda gere haniraya lomdao davon omlete haniraya
A Breton love song from Navan. And are there any Celtic drinking songs? I mean, it just seems that there would be. Are there? There are, but they're sad ones?
Some of them are very depressing.
There are some rousing, like kind of uplifting ones.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But you don't get into those.
We have one. Well, no, the
no,
one
that
we,
one's depressing
yeah,
too.
The one we do have says, "Everybody drink cider. Let's drink cider. Everybody drink cider, hard cider, mind you." And then in the third verse, he says, "Everybody drink cider. Everybody drink cider. I've only been married 3 months, and I can already feel the ball and chain around my neck. Everybody drink cider."
Well, that's kind of cheerful in a way.
It's our happy song.
The Irish in particular have some reason to lament all the emigration and immigration involved and a lot of suffering.
Absolutely. And it's odd that you would say that because I was thinking about this morning when I was describing that one song as an immigration lament, because I do think that laments and expressing the sadder things of life are sort of naturally in many cultures, not just Celtic. You know, you express it through song. But I do wonder, you know, how much we kind of joke about the sadness of the Irish songs and so forth. But I wonder if some of that is an overlay. Certainly, an explosion of heartbroken immigration songs themselves, you know, sort of boosted up that percentage of the repertoire. But I think it was also partly already there. You know, this idea of expressing sadness through song.
Yes, it was just a natural way for it to come out. A little immigration would bring it right out. And so what about this particular song? It's an Irish immigration lament, you say.
This song is called Ardchuan, and that's a place name in Ireland. It's an actual place called Ardchuan, which literally means the heights of the harbor. This is one of the rare poems we have left over that was written by a Protestant Ulsterman. He was a fluent Gaelic speaker, and there were many Protestant Ulster men and women who are fluent Gaelic speakers, which is something that kind of gets overlooked. There are also many fine poets, Ulster poets. But he was the last of his kind, basically. He was succumbing to the pressure on his side of things for Protestants to stop speaking Irish. And then even though he was, you know, his Gaelic was perfect, the Catholic community themselves were sort of distancing themselves from him because of his situation. So it was a kind of double whammy for him. But he kept composing in Irish. This song is about him thinking of leaving home and going abroad. And it's so sad. Towards the end, he says he'd rather be stretched out on a slab at his own funeral back home in Ireland with his friends surrounding him than to be alive in America. And he is said to have been so overcome by the power of his own lyrics that he never actually left home. He didn't. He never left the Glens of Antrim.
Well,
but many, many other Irish men and women who left sing this song thinking of not just Ard Ghiacháin, but Ireland in general. But he never actually left. So that's the power of song.
You can get yourself depressed without even going through
right.
the experience.
Damen hen na jihun na kin shlefa tawadum banulam gana go lehel kuhaj go glyam na guach chetoni Ag es och och her elg es o Er aljando es o Shem och hrit et ram ag es brunach Nach am min ole gavim ahen Mon on adonye Megan Hill Egamon Era Traiwan Smohamon Buan In Malaylum Ages Ogo Gael Ages Era Lino Eso Skannak nim hen na donach Ages och och er elges o Er aljanno es o Shem och hrit et ram Ages brunach Nag show ha Koryak tatabuan Seratalka gerhichikluan Valshin haranuan Eges valshi uem manoige Ages oko geren legeso Skolwin shabwas anyerin Ages och och er elges o Er aljanno es o Shemokritetram ages brunach, ages ochokel geso, el alunu eso. Shemokritetram ages brunach.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
An Irish immigration lament. And I didn't really intend to skip over this fascinating reference of yours, Sheila, to the Isle of Man.
The Isle of Man. It's hard to know. I don't know. What would you say is most obscure, the Isle of Man or Cornwall? Probably in Cornwall, probably not, because we're in Wisconsin. But I don't know. What do you think?
Everybody here knows about Cornish pasties, right?
Yeah, but Manx cats, right?
Well, that's a really, really
that's
good
a fair point.
It's a really good point. Well, it's hard to know. I think of those, not counting the sort of extinct Celtiberian type stuff.
Right.
I sort of think of Cornwall and the Isle of Man is kind of getting left in the dust a lot of the time. And now, fortunately, you're starting to see that change at the festivals we attend anyway. People are making more of an effort to find these songs. And this is much harder to find them than the Scottish and Irish, for example. But living here in Madison, for example, we have the university, and we have found some treasure troves of, speaking of treasure troves, of Manx song.
And this one is a sea invocation?
Sea invocation. This actually was collected from a document. It wasn't a book of songs. It was just a little fragment collected off of the lips of an elderly Manx lady, I think in the 1950s or 40s. And she remembered a fragment of it. So the first verse we sing is the verse that she remembers. And then we found another bit of Manx poetry that is also a sea invocation but didn't have any music along to it. And so we added that as the second verse. Basically, the women would go down to the dock and say goodbye to the men every time they were going out fishing, especially for the longer fishing expeditions. And they may not, you know, it's
yeah,
very
it may
perilous.
Not work
they
out
might
so
not come
well.
Back.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. There's lots of superstition. Certain words you can't say aboard the boats, you know, and things like that. And also then this tradition of blessing them by singing a song as they are leaving the harbor. So the women would be down on the docks stomping and singing the song for them as they pulled out. And it's a plea to the environment to take care of them, for the sea to remain calm, for the sun to remain out, for the winds to remain low, and so they can get back in time.
And the name of it is?
This is called Gui Jin Air, which literally means wind of the firmament.
Gui Jin Air Magrai Ara Hidden Horo Ari Aro Horo Ari Aro Janan Arish Kuna Hasmin Horo Ari Aro Horo Ari Aro Shonas Loda Sassare Korai Vias Manriste Slanchas Shia Sashtava Horo Ari Aro Horo Ari Aro Gwi Jynner Tamagrai Ara Hidden Horo Ari Aro Horo Ari Aro Fiach tonen stashban griden Horo Ari Aro Horo Ari Aro Mannanan beg makale Panin batas panin e Mai go maxi shachna sher Horo ari aro Horo ari aro
Gwi jyn e te ma grai ar a
hyn Gwi jyn e te
ma grai ar a hyn
Horo
ari aro
Horo ari aro
Janan ar ys gyn na sin
That's what Manx sounds like, a song sung by Navin today. Back with Navin live from our Buck studio, and I'll repeat the 12:30 quiz question right after this on Wisconsin Public Radio. Mouth music. I don't know whether that sounds appealing or not, Sheila.
Like, what are the kind of music? Well, I guess finger music. I don't know. But mouth music, puirceabail. It's thought of as a Scottish word, puirceabail. It literally means mouth music. You would, in the Celtic world and other places as well, you could not only play instruments for people to dance to, but you could sing for them to dance. And so these songs were very, you know, quick and lively and often chosen for the percussiveness of their lyrics as opposed to their depth. So, for example, the medley that we're considering doing here today consists of a song called Black Donald McDonald, and it talks basically about the fact that his hair is black. And then the second song is called Owen's Boat, and the words are simply, look at Owen's boat, look at Owen's boat. Look at Owen's boat, look at Owen's boat. There goes Owen's boat.
It starts to sound like Fun with Dick and Jane.
That's right, but it's great to dance to. So any of you out there who thought that this was really hard on our end, you know, there just aren't that many words in some of these songs. They are very hard to pronounce, but there aren't many of them. So there's a small dance floor up here. If you hear lots of thumping, that'll be the audience dancing.
Okay.
I'd
say that qualifies as mouth music. Now, I really like the way you have designated this next one, Sheila. Irish dance medley, oh boy, and lament.
We
always
correct.
Have to have that. It always has to end badly.
We won't tell you if the first two are happy or sad. You can just guess.
At the least, it's easier than reading the title.
That's true.
Which is pretty long.
Okay, what is the title?
Even for those of us who have to say it. Well, the first one is Soro Haika Gre, then Rinkia Philippa Hjol, and then Quinia Hilchesh, which is not actually the longest medley we have, but it's one. It's a doozy.
Here we go.
So the first two will be those dance pieces, and all of these songs are in 9/8 time or some version of 9/8 time. This would have been danced to as a slip jig in Ireland, the first two especially. Slow 9/8 pieces, such as the last one, are really unusual and rare, fairly rare. But the first ones would have been danced to as a slip jig, so triple meter. The long story with all of this, but we'll just tell briefly the story of the last one. The lament is the lament for Kilchash. That's a forest in Ireland. The English were coming in and literally mowing down the forests as they came in. And so this is the lament for those forests, but it's also symbolic as a lament for all of Ireland and the destruction of the old Gaelic order in the 1600s.
Soro haika gra, soro haika chomanin, soro haika haik, soro haika chomanin, soro haika gra, soro haika chomanin, soro haika haik, soro haika chomanin, jerry taika re, wai she fiak na yasaki, jerry moyen le yeas, lan she yeas, na bonaki, jerry taika re, wai she fiak na yasaki, jerry moyen le yeas, lan she yeas, na bonaki, down your babi bug, or cook a megion of Liena, down your babi bug, or cook a Magiona rea, dam yw babi bug, o coca magiona vlian, cari yn yn da jiwa, da ji doma wabi bug. Soro haika re, soro haika chomanin, soro haika haik, soro haika chomanin, soro haika gre, soro haika chomanin, soro haika haik, soro haika chomanin, jeri taika re, wai se fiag na yasaki, jeri moya na yeas, lan si yeas na bonaki, jeri taika re, wai se fiag na yasaki, jeri moya na yeas, Rinkje shenji mishe ankyol, porchin jana chia des rinkje Philippa Hjol, shin marvigo chisho sali vesko jo, oshe vanna jase, oshe vanna shoy, oshe vanna jase, rinkje Philippa Hjol, porchin jana chia des rinkje Philippa Hjol, trasto chorum fuipa maira agisko pio, porchin jana chia des rinkje Philippa Hjol, even linnan rinkje shimsa agisun kio, oshe vanna jase, oshe vanna shoy, oshe vanna jase, Rink ye Philippa Hjol, Oshe vanna jasse, Oshe vanna shoy, Oshe vanna jasse, Rink ye Philippa Hjol. Karianum mish fasta ganamu, Te jairu na gulcheralar, Nil traktar hil chashmaira chaila, Snib winner a klingo bre, On na chuda goni huan jaivan for gradam mis maier arew. Viu ili eg tar in star tonan san tafer in binere. Ni kunyam fun lachin na, ni kunyam fun geon. Ni kunyam fun fiulera, egeu koshkun. Na fiu na macha chun sier. O eru mil agas hied on tlua. Niel kiol bin milish nan yenam le hawr kan le golwyn. Nan chwechin na maran nan yegan si chyrdiw an sil chun suan. Da kio e chichem e crewan le glanem le grein ale. Pes mwj e chichem on speran sgwch ishge golier e tre. Ni clunyem fun lagan na, ni clunyem fun geon. Ni
clunium fum fuleram, egeu, egeu coscun, na fium na maha consider. Huer humilagus quiegunt lua, ni clunium fum lacunam, ni clunium fum geam, ni clunium fum fueram, egeu, egeu coscun, na fiu na maha consider. Huer humilagus quiedunt lua.
Thank you so much, Grimaldi.
Thank you.
How about an encore?
Well, in that case, it's the Manx Goodnight Song, and I think it's about 2 minutes, so we ought to make it. This is the traditional Manx Goodnight Song sung at the end of the evening in exchange for cider.
Tatarndos tren aliabach, mojillan vaishin dungotai, tendu chartere chalach, tegegnak shinda goldolai, te bonos tredogre, Goldalai, tensorvum grennach merum, shinkora dundag lejach, tatarndos trennaliabach, moyillan vai shindungotai, tendu chartera chalach,
thanks so much.
A lovely song, and it came from the mouths of Navan. They consist of Sheila Shigley and Elizabeth Simcock, Paul Gorman, and Amy Curl. And you have, let's see, how many CDs now? 4 CDs?
That's correct, 4. And we sort of wormed our way onto a big Christmas production as well, so we're nicely represented in the Celtic Christmas Sojourn Christmas release.
Sure, yes, with those happy pictures on it. Well, thanks for gracing our studio today and sharing with our audience in the studio and out there in broadcast land.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much.